Over the past few weeks, the lectionary has been concentrating on Matthew chapter 13 and Jesus' use of parables. Our gospel reading this morning is no different. Jesus used parables to teach the disciples and others who gathered around him, where they learned about the great kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. These parables are still relevant to us today, as they continue to teach us about the character of God, what God expects of us, and what we can expect of God. Now, if you take the literal meaning of the parables that we read, they are easy to understand and simple to follow. But is that really what Jesus was intending to do? Upon first look, the parable of the mustard seed is a lovely little story which teaches us that from small things do great things grow. These small little seeds planted in the ground grow and grow to become large bushes and even trees, to become food and shelter for the birds. That sounds like a lovely story with a great happy ending, right? The kingdom of heaven provides shelter and warmth for all, right? And what about the parable of the yeast? Yeast is what makes bread taste good. Well, that and gluten. But yeast makes bread rise. It makes it light and fluffy and wonderful. The yeast transforms the dough from a flat piece of an unleavened heavy dough to a light and airy piece of heaven. Can you tell that I really like bread? I can talk about bread for a long time. Again, we have a happy ending. The woman makes a wonderful loaf of bread, and all are fed. That's a great ending, but is there more to this story? Did Jesus simply tell these stories to have a happy ending? After all, the birds are fed and sheltered. The family of the baker have a belly full of warm bread for supper. Is this really where this story ends? Or was there more to these parables? Was Jesus sort of tricking us by using similes, metaphors, and abstract thoughts to teach lessons that were so radical, that were so wicked, and when I say wicked, I say wicked good, that if one stopped to think and listen, it would transform and change their lives that the people could simply not imagine. If we were to research the parables, you would soon come to find out how they would have been interpreted in ancient times. We would realize that the mustard plant, although it was a spice, and we still use it as a spice today, and it has some medicinal values, that it was known as a rather invasive an aggressive plant that grew quickly, and it stole the water and nutrients from the other plants around it. And soon, this plant, this small, tiny seed, could overrun a farm, which would lead to devastation for the farmer and their family. And the plant acting as a shelter for the birds also caused problems for the farmer. Birds were thought of to be a menace because they stole the seeds that the farmer worked so hard to plant in the ground each spring. Upon reading this parable more closely, I don't see any good news here. The parable of the yeast is similar in thought, and this really surprised me because I love bread so much, I would have thought that this was a good news story. It too is similar to the kingdom of heaven. One is providing sustenance, so there is no hunger, and all are fed. But the yeast in ancient times was not like the cute little packets or bottles that we buy today at the grocery store. Yeast in ancient times was, as Mark Hoffman, a professor at Luther Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, called a lump of moldy, rotting bread, which in the original Greek text, the woman actually hid into the flour She didn't place it tenderly in the flower, she hid it quickly in the flower. Using the Greek word, and I'll give you your Greek lesson for today, encrypsin. So when the flour, when the yeast was put into flour, all of the bread would become leavened. And leavened bread was not eaten very often during ancient times. Many of the references of yeast being used in the Bible were viewed negatively. It was believed to be a contaminant that spoiled and invaded a perfectly good dough. David Vose stated that in Jesus' culture, it was recognized that yeast did its work by introducing something that was actually alive into the bread. That's why we call a yeast active. And this living thing was actually considered an impurity that actively spread throughout the loaf. And in this sense, yeast was often used as a metaphor for the tendency of sin to spread through a community. So, what does Jesus mean when he compares the kingdom of heaven to an invasive weed like that of the mustard plant, or a lump of moldy, smelly bread that was hidden into substantial amounts of flour that would in fact spoil the whole batch? When Jesus was teaching and preaching in ancient times, the promise of God returning was thought to be imminent. The people believed that it was only a matter of time and God would return and the kingdom of heaven would be available to everyone, especially the poor and the ill, the downtrodden, and the sinners would be forgiven and life would be perfect. At the time in which the Gospels were written, the people were subject to the Roman Empire. They were oppressive and hard-hearted people. And the thought of a world where all were accepted, respected, and loved was completely opposite to the norm. Can our society today relate to this way of thought and life? We need not look much further than our neighbors to the south, where their president, who wants to build walls to keep people out, who turns away refugees, who uses bias and ignorance against transgendered people, who uses social media to bully and perplex the rest of the world, who during a speech this week to police officers informed them that brutal force was allowable when making an arrest. How completely different would the kingdom of heaven look like if everyone was accepted and loved? What Jesus was trying to teach the disciples and those who gathered to listen was that the kingdom of God was just like that tiny mustard seed and the yeast. It was invasive. It started out small and weaved its way into the lives of those who believed. It took hold and transformed and changed people in the most drastic of ways. It was radical. Picture it in your head, the word of God as a tiny mustard seed or the yeast hidden into the flour. Now, watch it beginning small, but watch it starting to grow, gaining power, justice, mercy, and love that invades your life and begins to run through you. It changes you into a different person. It transforms you into something new. It changes the way you treat people. No longer are you the Sunday morning Christian sitting in the church pew. One begins to fight for justice. One stands with those who are oppressed. One gives generously of their time and talents and passions to those who are in need. One makes and ties blankets for those who are cold or ill or hurt or grieving. Or one provides a safe place during the summer months for children to learn about the kingdom of God, to play, to get exercise, and makes new friends. One uses their power to uplift others, not to tear them down. One chooses to make a difference in the life of others, all because the love of God has invaded their life, like that tiny mustard seed invaded the fields, or that piece of smelly yeast invaded the bread. Suddenly, the parables we read this morning do take on a whole new meaning. There is good news, and it's radical good news. But it takes commitment, a desire to grow, and faith to understand that good news and the promise that God brings into our lives. It takes trust and perseverance and patience. And we all know that that is not easy to comprehend and do. And perhaps that is why Jesus in verse 51 specifically asked the disciples if they understand what he has told them. And although they all say yes, as the Gospel of Matthew continues, it is clear that they don't get it, because they turn their backs on Jesus, which in turn leads to his crucifixion and death. The kingdom of God is a wonderful, radical place, and one day it will come. But it takes faith and a genuine trust in God to allow that invasive love to fill our lives, to allow us to grow and make a difference in the world as we know it. And for that I say, thanks be to God.